All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask God that you would bless. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you that we're able to study the word and gain encouragement from it. I pray, Father, that we would take heed to the warnings of the scriptures, that we may walk with you in fullness of joy and also in perfect fellowship with you. We ask for your cleansing, Lord, for our sins, and ask that you bless it, your word now to our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so Psalm number 56 and number 57. We're going to continue probing the book of Psalms, and we understand we're going back again to the Psalms of David. The Psalms of David, we return. So book two opens with the Psalms for the sons of Korah, then the one Psalm of Asaph in the entire book two series, and then 18 Psalms of David. And now we are in Psalm number 56 and number 57. So let's look first at the words underneath chapter number 56. These inspired words of the Lord. To the chief musician upon Janath Elam Rehokim. That's the word there. Janath Elam Rehokim. Rehokim. Miktam of David. When the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. So this, to the chief musician, we know that is Asaph, predominantly Asaph. It could also be He-Man or Ethan. but what is this Janath Elam Rehokim? What is that? Well, basically, that just means a dove, kalapate, from a distant terebinth tree. From a distant terebinth tree. He's like a dove. He's like a bird flying from branch to branch, trying to get away from the enemy. And so this is capturing the time in David's life where he was fleeting like a bird, getting away from Saul, getting away from those that would betray him, just constantly on the run. There was trouble everywhere in David's life. And so he was like a dove from a distant terebinth tree. So what's a terebinth tree? Well, the picture that I put on the Facebook page is a terebinth tree. So you can see what that looks like when you visit our Facebook page for this week. So anyway, so Miktam, it says Miktam of David. Miktam means meditation. Meditation. So David did a lot of meditation, a lot of thinking, a lot of contemplation about God and about his word and about how the mercy of God and the goodness of God, as he struggled in life's troubles of life and the trials of life, he constantly turns to meditation. Now, there's a difference between biblical meditation and Eastern meditation. We're not talking about Eastern meditation. We're not talking about New Age, mystical meditation, emptying your mind, yoga, for example. Yoga and all the mystical Eastern mysticism rituals, emptying your mind, that is not biblical. That is not according to the scriptures. In the Bible, meditation is not emptying your mind. It's the opposite. Of course, you would expect God to do the opposite of what man thinks. Man thinks meditation is emptying your mind, just, you know, being de-stressing, detoxing your mind, whatever. That's just hogwash. The idea of biblical meditation is that you're fixing your mind upon the Lord. You're thinking of his word. You're rehearsing and remembering, recalling how good God is and his mercy and his grace upon your life maybe repeating a scripture principle or a scripture verse, and then praying and just drawing closer to the Lord. It's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind with the Word of God, filling your mind with the goodness of God, filling your mind with the things of the Lord. You're not thinking, how do I get out of these things? You're thinking, how do I get into the book? That's meditation. And a lot of times we've forgotten MCTAM, meditations, and how important that is in the Christian life. Last week, we talked about the importance of prayer. Well, today we're going to look at how important it is to meditate on the Lord. Meditation. MCTAM of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Well, where in the Old Testament did David flee to the city of Gath and the Philistines took him? Where did that happen? Well, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. We are not going to read that. We're not going to go there. But 1 Samuel chapter 21, specifically verses 10 to 15. 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 15. You can read the historical background about when David fled to Gath and how Gath turned against him too. In 1 Samuel 21. So again, these psalms are historical psalms about David's life experiences. So what did David do when he was in danger? He turned to the Lord. He turned to God. And that's what we need to remember as believers. When times of trouble come, we need to fix our heart, our mind upon the Lord. We need to turn to the Lord. So let's see verse number one again. Psalm 56, verse 1, we have an understanding of the heading. To the chief musician upon, Jonath, Elam, Rehokim, MCTAM of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath, be merciful unto me, O God. Oh, so David begins the psalm with a lament, verses 1 and 2. And then he moves to trusting in God in verses 3 and 4. And then he explains his affliction and curses. The very heart of this psalm is the affliction and curses in verses 5 and 9. And then he returns to trusting in God in verses second half of 9 to 11. And then he moves from lament to thanksgiving. You see, trouble turns to thanksgiving when you learn to trust in God and bring Him and cast upon Him your affliction and curses. And so, this is kind of like the general idea of Psalm 50, 51, and so on as we move into the life of David. It's a life of trouble turning into trust. And we have to learn that as believers. We need to learn to trust in the Lord, especially in times of trouble. All right? So, notice these words, O God, be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Look at verse number 5. Every day they wrest my words. They wrestle with my words. Did you notice the word daily? Daily, so important. This is where we Christians get in a lot of trouble. Do you know that the Christian life, now this is, the Old Testament doesn't talk about the Christian life, but we can because we are in the New Testament looking at the Old Testament. But the Christian life is a daily battle. The Christian life is to be lived daily. Every day is a fresh day for battle. And you can have a wonderful time on Sunday and you go to church You pray, you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and God works in your heart, and you leave the church on Sunday rejoicing in the Lord for the victory that God has given you. Your mind has been fixed upon the Lord as it should. That's why Sunday is very important. But listen, Monday's coming. And whatever grace and victory that God gave you on Sunday is only good for that day. What about the grace for Monday? What about grace for Tuesday? What about grace for Wednesday? And so on and so forth. Every day is a, and this is where a lot of Christians fail, because they say, oh, well, yeah, God gave me the victory today. Well, what about tomorrow? David said, for man would swallow me up, he fighting daily. Do you know how the devil fights? He fights daily. Every day is a battle. And as a Christian, you need to draw closer to the Lord in prayer and entrust in Him every day. You know what Jesus said? Let me remind you what He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. This is a good scripture principle, and you need to know this. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. The Bible says, He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So every day, you need to learn to present yourself to the Lord for that day. So if God gives you the victory today, thank God for it. Rejoice in it. But don't lean on yesterday's grace. God wants to help you today. God wants to bless you today. And there'll be grace for tomorrow. But you need to draw closer to the Lord and don't let your guard down. Every day, the devil seeks about as a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse number 2, mine enemies, in Psalm 56, verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. Do you know what trouble today may bring? You don't know what trouble tomorrow may bring. You don't understand what you're capable of doing tomorrow. What destruction lies ahead in front of you. Everything could change in one day. Everything could change in one day if you're not careful as a Christian, as a born-again believer. And that's why you need to be aware of the battle as a Christian. This is every day. Swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. You know how many things are against you as a Christian? There's sin against you. Your flesh is against you. The devil is against you. The world, the Antichrist world system, the way the world runs is against you. There are many things against you. And you need the Lord every day. Daily, daily, remind yourself, I must daily walk with the Lord. Humble yourself daily before the Lord. And that's how you win the Christian battle for today, for just today. And trust the Lord for tomorrow and walk with the Lord tomorrow. Don't neglect these things. These are daily things, so important. And again, verse 5, every day they rest my words, David said. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Did David admit fear? David had fear. David was a king. He was a military leader. And he expressed fear. Are you afraid sometimes? Are there things in your life that cause you to fear? If you admit that, if you humble yourself before the word of the Lord, you have to say yes. Yes. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't think there's a more spiritual Christian than the Apostle Paul, but yet Paul had to wrestle with fear. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. Notice these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without our fightings, externally, we had fightings, within his heart, within his soul, were fears. So you get the military king, David, admitting fear. You have the spiritual missionary, Paul, admitting fear. So it's not that fear is the bad thing here. It's what do you do with fear? Do you let fear control you? Or are you going to turn and trust in the Lord? That's what it says. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And trust is a key word in this psalm. It shows up all over. It shows up in verse 4. In God will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. And then you find it in verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. Trust. You have to humble yourself to trust in the Lord. And you have to turn to the Lord all the time, every day. Now notice what it says in verse 3. I will praise his word. I will praise his word. How much word of God did David have when he wrote this psalm? Have you ever thought about that? The scriptures haven't yet been compiled. The New Testament will show up about, you know, a couple hundred and thousand years later. Here you have the New Testament complete, AD 96, 97. But this is the reign of King David. He only had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number, Deuteronomy. He only had Joshua, Judges, maybe Ruth, definitely Job. Okay, so, and he wrote some of the Psalms. We know that. That's inspired scripture. Okay, so 10. David had roughly 10 books of the Bible. That's all he had. But he says, I will praise his word. What about you, born-again Christian? How many word of God do you have? Hey, we have 66 books. We have 66 books. And we ought to trust in God, trust in his word, and praise in God, I will praise his word. See, the problem with Christian is they wrest the word of God. They wrestle with the word of God. Instead of yielding to the word, we fight the word of God. Instead of surrendering to the word, we try to correct the word. Instead of the word correcting us, we correct the word. It's not good. That's why we don't believe in correcting the Bible. The King James Bible. Don't mess with the book of God. Don't correct it. Let the word correct you. That's how it works. And get into the word of God every day, trusting in the Lord, turning your trouble into trust and fixing your heart upon the Lord. So verse number 8, let's look at verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. God cares about your tears. God cares about your troubles. And let that be an encouragement to you. All the battles that you faced in the past, that you thought were impossible, that God, you know, you just had to weep yourself asleep. God notices those things. And he cares for you. And so you cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Got to learn to do that. verse number 10, in God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. Do you love the word of God? Do you take time to learn and study the 66 books of the Bible? The more you master the word, the more the word will master your life. And I pray sometime, my prayer is that you will know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Gotta know it. Gotta love it. It will be your strength. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So David trusts in the Lord. His turmoil turns into thanksgiving because he trusted in the Lord. All right. Psalm 57. Let's move to Psalm 57. And by the way, we do have study notes available ito. Messenger nyo lang ang request nito at i-email namin ito sa iyo. Or you can just email us. We'll put a link on our Facebook page there. But Psalm 57, let's look at these inspired words to the chief musician. Altashith, Altashith. Ano itong Altashith? What does that mean? Well, Altashith means destroy not. Destroy not, and it shows up four times in the book of Psalms, and you have the places where it shows up. 58 next week, 59, 58 and 59, we'll be looking at 58 and 59 next week. 75, and so you have that there. David pleads to God for his life, for deliverance from his enemies. And remember, Saul was pursuing him, and it says it right there. Altashith, Miktam. Miktam again means meditation. Of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Well, there are two caves in the life of David where he fled from Saul. So you can choose the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel 22 or the cave of En Gedi, 1 Samuel 24. And I believe it's Psalm 1 Samuel 24. But anyway, so you have that. And then the outline is simple. Psalm 57 is much, much easier. It's basically lament, the refrain, and thanksgiving. Lament, refrain, and thanksgiving. So let's look at verses 1 to 4. O God, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Mercy. David pleads for God's mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. You know what we deserve? We deserve judgment. We deserve a lake of fire. But God is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And David is saying, Lord, I know I don't deserve your help, but please have mercy on me and help me. I know I don't deserve your grace, but please be merciful to me. This is prayer, appealing to God's mercy. be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, the shadow of thy wings will I make refuge until these calamities be overpassed, till the storm passes by. Let me hide in the refuge of God, of the Lord. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Lord, I know if anybody could answer my prayer, it's you. You're the one who does these for me. This is communication. This is how we ought to be praying to God. I love how the Psalms instruct us, teach us on how to pray. We should be praying these things, not in a vain, repetitious way, but informing our prayer life. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. You know how many things in life would love to swallow you up? How many situations would love to destroy you? Oh, that's why this is so important. Selah. Selah means to pause, to stop, to think and meditate about what was just said. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Pray for God's mercy and pray for God's truth. My soul is among lions, and I even lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. You remember when David was in the cave and Saul, David had 400 men in a cave and hiding from Saul. And Saul happened to say, well, I'm gonna, you know, relieve myself. I'm gonna take a rest over here in this cave. And Saul goes in the cave and he sleeps in the cave, in the very same cave that David was. And David cut a portion of his robe to prove to Saul later that he was in that cave. He could have killed Saul, but he spared Saul. And so imagine the heart of David hiding in that cave, worried, but he trusted in the Lord. Verse number 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Pray for God's glory. You know, Lord, I want to glorify you in my trouble. I want to glorify you in this situation. David did not kill Saul. He could have. He could have taken matters in his own hands, but he trusted in the Lord. Same verse, number 11, it's the refrain. It's the same thing. Verse 11, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now the heart of this psalm is verse number 7. This is the important aspect of Psalm 57. Verse number 7 is the heart. Listen to these words. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. The word fix doesn't mean you repair. The word fix here, my heart is fixed, means it's firm, it's established. Sa Tagalog, matatag, hindi yung aayusin ko ang aking puso. Hindi yung fix. Yung parang sira siya, tapos aayusin. No, the word fix means matatag, panatag ang aking puso sa iyo, Panginoon. David learned to fix his heart, to establish his heart. It's the same word in Psalm 48. You go to Psalm 48, same Hebrew word. Psalm 48, verse number 8. Psalm 48, verse number 8. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. God will fix it forever, in essence. So, establish, fixed, firm. It's not going to move. You know, the situations in life want to move your heart away from God. Don't allow the troubles and trials of life to move your heart from the Lord. Don't be distracted by the devil. Don't be distracted by the glitter of the world. Don't be distracted by the weakness of the flesh. Turn to the Lord always. Repentance brings renewal always. And so, fixing your heart on God begins with calling on the Lord for mercy, keeping short sin accounts with the Lord, daily taking up your cross, following the Lord, acknowledging that yesterday's grace is not good for today. You need God today. And then tomorrow, again, as the morning comes up, you dedicate and present your body afresh, anew to the Lord. Verse 8, awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. Boy, there's a lot of meditation that David did, thinking about the mercy of God and the power of God and the glory of God. And that is something we need to learn as Christians. We must learn these things. Don't be defeated. Have your heart fixed upon the Lord, established upon the Lord. And when God gives you the victory for today, rejoice in it. Be thankful. Be revived for today. But remember, today's victory doesn't guarantee tomorrow's victory. You're going to need to walk with the Lord tomorrow. Let's pray and ask God to bless us then. Father in heaven, we thank you for these precious, precious words. The Christian battle is a daily battle, and we need to renew ourselves every day. So help us to repent and renew. Be renewed in our thinking, be renewed in our mind, Help us to draw closer to you in humility, asking for your mercy, leaning upon you, Lord, for these things. And we ask that you give us the victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so God bless you. Salamat po sa pakikinig. Thank you for listening. We'll continue next week with Psalm number 58.